This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas joins me in 10 minutes. LeBron James is the guy who deserves the credit right now. I know the series isn't technically over, but it's over. Frank Vogel made defensive adjustments. Good for him. He deserves credit. Rob Pelinka put the team together. Deserves credit. I kind of dissed some of his moves when he made them. AD playing defense on Jimmy Butler. The end of that game. Deserves credit. If you're a shot-blocking power forward, are you a power forward or a center? I don't know. But AD is whatever Tim Duncan was and some, by the way. Unbelievable that he can guard a guy like Jimmy Butler, a big combo guard who never turns the ball over, has handles, can get to the rim, the whole thing. Unbelievable that he can do that. I have to toss my phone away from the equipment or it creates static. Anyway, unbelievable that AD could do that. He deserves credit. Vogel, Pelinka, AD, Rondo, playoff Rondo. Deserves credit, whether or not he's putting up traditional stats. But no one deserves more credit than LeBron James. The Lakers made such quick work of the Western Conference, I literally forgot their second-round opponent. And by the way, their second-round opponent was the star-studded Houston Rockets. LeBron just got Mike D'Antoni fired. Just got him fired. James Harden licking his wounds at home right now. Russell Westbrook wondering what happened. They had a great seven-game series with the Thunder. The Rockets win game one playing small ball against the Lakers. And I forgot they even play. I was like, all right, well, hold on. The Lakers beat Portland in the first round. The Nuggets in the conference finals. Like, wiped from my memory. The Houston Rockets, a perennial Western Conference powerhouse and one of the most talked about teams in the league for many years now, forgot they were even there because Damian Lillard came in with the scrappy Portland Trail Blazers and LeBron got rid of him. And then the Rockets come in having just won a great seven-game series against a very good Thunder team. And small ball wins game one. And was this going to be a series? Will this be the year? The Rockets, and no, four games later, it's over. The Nuggets. Ooh, the Nuggets. What a seven-game series against first Utah and then the Clippers, favored by many idiots like me, to win the whole thing this year. And the Nuggets made some runs in some of those games, man. It was like, oh, here it comes. You know, the Nuggets were one of those teams when they got rolling, it's like for short periods, you're like, this is the best team I've ever seen. You know what I mean? Like, it was, you just don't know how to stop them. And they started doing that to the Lakers. Nope, LeBron wasn't having it. And then same thing last night. Here come the Heat. Don't forget, the Heat lost, what, two games to the Celtics? Was that it? These playoffs, who else beat the Heat these playoffs? They weren't losing games. And here come the scrappy Heat again. And the Laker lead is gone. And now it's a one possession game. And now it's a tie game. Ooh, the Laker, you know, anyone else would be feeling the pressure. Nope, LeBron just handles his business. And just like that, the Heat are down 3-1 and will be lucky to get it to a game six. I think it's another gentleman's sweep. Western Conference was supposed to slow LeBron down. It did no such thing. Now, to be fair, the Warriors weren't the Warriors, and that was really the Goliath of the West. LeBron didn't have to play them this year, but LeBron played them. Forget about the Warriors with KD. No team was beating them. Certainly not the Cavs, as they were constructed, is going to beat that Warriors team. Warriors won 73 games and then added Kevin Durant without subtracting any of their core pieces. That's unbelievable. So, whatever. But before KD got there, and the reason KD joined the Warriors is because both KD and the Warriors looked at LeBron and said, well, we can't beat this guy by ourselves. Let's join forces. LeBron had played the Warriors twice, he surely would have won the first series had he had Kevin Love and Kyrie. He lost in six games without Kevin Love or Kyrie. He took two games from those Warriors without Kevin Love or Kyrie. Kevin Love needs like a KL something. You know, they say KD. I want to shorten it somehow. For some reason, three syllables is too much effort for me to say. But anyway, if you go six games against those Warriors with Dellavedova as your second best player, you mean to tell me with Kyrie and Kevin Love you're not going to beat them? Of course they would have beaten them. And then the next year, the Warriors got even better, won 73 games, and LeBron beat them. So I don't want to hear that the Warriors, oh, they're not at full strength. LeBron's already played the Warriors without KD and has clearly proven that a LeBron-led team is better. Well, this is not that Cleveland team. It's a new team. Right. This Lakers team's better than that Cleveland team because neither Kyrie nor Kevin Love is Anthony Davis. This Lakers team, wire to wire, had the best record in the Western Conference and was the best team throughout these playoffs. It's unbelievable what LeBron just did. And after, you know, there was more at stake in these finals, not just for LeBron, but for the Lakers. Look, I believe that you discount pre-modern championships. It doesn't mean they don't you ignore them. You count them. But they're not as valuable as modern championships, right? Like, in other words, the Yankees have 27 world championships, by far the most in the history of American team sports. A lot of them took place in the old days. What are the old days? Pre-color line. Those are the old days, pre-1947. Pre-expansion to 162 games, 1961. Mm-hmm. Pre-wild card era, 1995. But any way you want to slice it, the Yankees has won more championships than anyone in every era. Even if when you discount their old-timey championships, they still are clearly the number one franchise in the history of American team sports, like by far. Celtics were like the Yankees of basketball. The Celtics had 13 championships when I was a kid. The Lakers had six, less than half. And I ain't a kid anymore. You fast forward about 40 years, and the Celtics are sitting on 17, and the Lakers are about to get 17, but with 11 of them in the modern era, meaning post-absorption of the ABA teams and adoption of the three-point shot. 11 of them in the modern era to the Celtics 4. Once upon a time, the number one team in the franchise in the history of the NBA was by far the Celtics. Those days are over. Once the Lakers have their 17th to match the Celtics, considering 11 of them have come in the modern era, there is no doubt and no dispute that the Lakers stand head and shoulders over every franchise that ever existed in basketball as the number one of all time on the planet Earth. And LeBron James, in his 10th finals at age 35, in his 17th season, playing like this? It's unprecedented. No one's played like this 17 years in. Kareem, Isaiah Thomas, the Hall of Famer, joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Isaiah, it's a little unfair to Kareem because he was in college for 4 years. They weren't eligible to play as a freshman back then. Went to three championships, won three championships, was like 88-2 over that time. So like, it's unfair just to compare their NBA resumes. But Isaiah, just comparing NBA resumes, I think for his career, LeBron's got it. Peak, I take MJ. But for his career, who's ahead of LeBron at this point?
You know, the only two players really that really has dominated all sport for this long a period of time, and we're talking, decades, you're only talking, really two guys and then possibly three. You're looking at Kareem, who has dominated, came into the NBA in, I think, 71, and his last NBA final was in 89. So you're talking about, close to two decades of domination and consistency. You know, and then when you did get to the decade, you're looking at Russell in terms of what he did with Boston. And then there's LeBron. These are the only three players that you can say that have had decades or decades of domination. And, you know, when we, you know, Max, we talk about analytics and everything else. And, you know, from my observation, participation, experience, knowledge of the sport, you know, the first thing is the eye test. LeBron passes the eye test. And then he's backed it up with the numbers in terms of being the best player that I've ever seen, you know, for this period of time. He and Kareem, to me, no one has really dominated for this sustained longer period of time from the eye test and also from the numbers test.
And the championships, Zeke. And, like, you know, they went to all – like, they each went to 10 finals. Kareem won 6. LeBron won 4. But – 10 finals.
Yeah, I mean, this is you know, we're fortunate enough, and I'm fortunate enough to have lived in an era where I've gotten to see the greatest basketball players ever play the game and have competed against some of them. So this is you know, I'm just happy to be in this era where we've had a chance to view when LeBron James is all said and done. I don't even think there'll be a doubt in terms of who the greatest player to ever play our sport was. He will be it.
See, I think that MJ, and I know you and MJ have a history, obviously, and you have a right to feel a certain
kind of way.
Well, you
know, we have a history, Max, but my experience and professionalism in sports shouldn't exclude my opinion. Right. So my opinions are based on my experiences of playing against him, mm-hmm. and also observing what I'm watching now. And, you know, LeBron James is, you know, when you look at basketball playing skills across the board, it's not my opinion anymore. He's backed it up statistically.
Yeah.
As a passer, as a rebounder, as a scorer. You know, as a complete basketball player, I don't know if there hasn't been anyone in all sport that has completely dominated in every statistical category than he has.
But see, there are fighters like who are more well-rounded than Pernell Whitaker or Floyd Mayweather, right? Like they could mm-hmm. punch better, they could do this better, and you'd say, well, they have more well-rounded skills. But if you're just a boxing fool like Pernell was or like Floyd was, it doesn't matter if who's more well-rounded. You just there's nothing they can do to stop those boxing skills. And MJ, even if LeBron, clearly a better passer, he's bigger, he's stronger, all that stuff. But what MJ was able to do, 6-for-6 in the finals, always won in under 7 games. The first time he played with another All-Star, took you guys 7. Pippen had that migraine game 7, and he was also still a puppy that season. But every time, other time he had an All-Star with him, even one, he won the finals in under 7 games, played 82 games every season, all first-team defense every season, et cetera. Isaiah, hold on one sec, because some stations are going to be going to the MLB playoffs, Game 3, A's-Astros right now, and the rest of you are going to be staying with me till the top of the hour. So let's pause right now for those stations taking that baseball game so they can do that.
Okay. Hey, you got to pay the bills, Matt.
Got to play the bills. I got to wait 5 seconds here, Isaiah. And now, there you go. Back with Isaiah Thomas. Anyway, so because of that, Isaiah, it's like, you know, the all-time scoring average leader, the all-time analytics like PER guy, the all-defense basically every year of his prime, 6-for-6 in the finals, all those things, I think his peak was higher than LeBron's. The way like Sandy Koufax's peak was higher than Roger Clemens, let's say, but Clemens pitched for all those years. I think if you want to give it to LeBron, you're doing it based on longevity, not based on peak. But you think based on peak, it sounds like.
Well, I'm just saying if we want to change the criteria, then you look at my peak year, right?
Yeah.
then there's no other player in the history of the sport who did what I did in my peak year. Right.
Which was? What did you do?
21, 21 average, 21, close to 21 points, average 21 points and close to 14 assists a game. Mm-hmm. There's no other player that's ever done that.
Yeah, but Isaiah, you're one of the – when you talk about the non-giant point guards, right? Like, take Magic out. He's a million feet tall. Yeah, that's why you're in the conversation for the greatest of the non-giant point guards, because you had seasons like that. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So the point that I was going to further make is that what I try to do, Max, as someone who's played and participated, right, is like, okay, there, we have genetic freaks in our game, right? And Jordan had a genetic jumping gene that was freaky. No one had that, right? So what I try to do is say, okay, when I take away the genetic gifts, and then you look at just basketball playing ability, mm-hmm. right? Who is the better basketball player if you don't have the genetic freakiness with it?
Right.
And I look at all of those guys who are similar in size, like LeBron, Jordan, Magic, they all have the genetic gift of size, but Jordan had the genetic gift of jumping ability. LeBron mm-hmm. has a genetic gift of jumping ability. But if I take away those gifts and I say, okay, who is just the better basketball player all around, it's no comparison. And not only is there no comparison, the eye test and now the methodology of measurement in terms of analytics and numbers confirm what your eyes are seeing.
Yeah, well, actually, the analytics are unclear, but there are analytics that put Jordan ahead of LeBron at his peak. But I get it. LeBron is, if you're talking, like, LeBron has that basketball genius of Bird and Magic, and also that above the rim ability of Kobe or MJ, right? That's why he was the chosen one out of high school. But like Kareem, it's interesting. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he came in with so much fanfare that it was almost impossible for him to match it, and yet somehow he exceeded it. And unlike Kareem, there's much more media around today. Do you think, as someone who follows the game, as you say, participated at a Hall of Fame level, obviously, championship level, when I say, to me as a fan, it's like, oh, the Lakers are about to catch the Celtics, 17 chips apiece. When I was a kid, Isaiah, that was impossible. Celtics had 13 when I was a kid. Lakers had 6. Then you fast forward all these decades later, Lakers are about to catch the Celtics. Do players care about that stuff at all, or is it just like the fans geeking out on that stuff?
You actually do care about it. It's like it's like a baseball player having the opportunity to play with the Yankees or the Red mm-hmm. Sox. You do know the historical relevance of these franchises, and you do count. I mean, the Lakers and the Celtics, traditionally, when they are good, our sport is good, and it makes it better because of their historical relevance in the game. So yeah, we count and to win in those franchises, I'm sorry, but it does mean more when you win as a Celtic and as a Laker, and I knew that. You know, with the Pistons, it's like, okay, that's why you try to establish tradition. That's why you try to load up the wins so historically you can remain in the relevance of the history books, because you've done it so many times, and now you get to walk in with tradition and with mythology and all those other things.
Isaiah, before I let you go, because I got a break in a minute, I'm looking at this Heat team, and I didn't think they had a chance to win. But I look at, like your Pistons teams that went back-to-back, you were an MVP-caliber player. Whether or not you won the MVP, there was, you know, in the league at that time, you were a top-5 player, right, year in and year out. Usually you need at least one guy like that, and you had other all-stars on your team, and you were well-coached, and you were a great defensive team. Usually you need at least one guy like that. Like when the Mavericks upset the Heat, Dirk Nowitzki was playing at MVP level, and he had shooters all around him. Almost never do you have a team without one MVP caliber player. Like Chauncey Billups was Mr. Big Shot when they won in 04, but then that team was historically great defensively. This Heat team, like Jimmy Butler had to play out of his mind to get one single win. Was there anything, is there anything at all they can do against this Lakers team to at least extend it to game six without an MVP?
The only thing they can really do is hope that the Lakers play bad and make mistakes. And they'll have something to do with that, of course. But, you know, the answer to that question, Max, is no. I don't see how they can beat this Laker team. Because as I said before, the Lakers come into this with the two best players. And normally you have, like you said, one MVP candidate on one team or the other. But when you look in this series, they got both the MVP candidates on the same team. Yeah. And they got the talent, they got experience, they got the know-how, they got knowledge, and you know, they can throw in a guy like Rondo who can change the game in two plays. Miami doesn't have that. They are learning that. They're getting that experience, but they don't have that yet. So the only way they can really win is if the Lakers allow them to win by doing dumb things and making mistakes. Lakers don't make mistakes, I don't see how Miami can beat them.
You know, usually when I've had you on, Isaiah, and thanks a million, Isaiah, for coming on. But usually I have Isaiah, they cut him off. It's very rude, guys. This is the Hall of Famer, Isaiah Thomas. Don't just drop him off the line. How dare you? That was Isaiah Thomas on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Anyway, usually when Isaiah comes on the show, at the end, and he used to do this on my show in New York, too. We talk sports, and at the end, he talks about how he likes the way I talk about social issues, and he was obviously a person who's not shy talking about those issues, and yet we never have done it on the air, on the radio. Always it's just sports. I want to have Raj on. I want to have Isaiah on one of these days when there's one of these social issues around, so he and I could actually chop it up that way.
Okay.
See what I mean? Not just
or
sports.
Or when you get 2 minutes and 1 minute cue, you cannot ask a 2 minute question and leave yourself no time at the end. You could also try that too, Matt.
I don't like that idea. I don't think I'm going to try that. Thank you for the suggestion, though. A surprise team jumped up in my NFL power rankings. That and can LeBron wind up on the Lakers' Mount Rushmore, even though he's already on the NBA all-time Mount Rushmore? Anyway, find out who jumped up in my power rankings. Next, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
No bias.
I really like football.
Just facts.
Don't get it crooked here, what I'm saying.
Max's NFL Power Rankings.
All right, we're going to go 5-1. Ready for this? I had to check
my phone. I'm ready now. Last
week, I have to throw my phone away from the radio equipment so it doesn't create interference. So I have stuff up on my phone. I have to lean all the way over here like this. They can see it on ESPN News.
Trade in your BlackBerry, dog. You ain't got to still have a BlackBerry.
It's an iPhone.
Trade it in.
Yeah.
All right. Last week, number five, you had the Patriots. Who do you got this week at number five, Max?
The Patriots. That's right. A 2-2 Patriots team. Look, Take a team like the Bills, right? The Bills are on the rise, top five team, great defense, the whole thing. The Patriots have two losses. The Bills have none, okay? But let's examine things for a second. They have each played, the Patriots and Bills, the Raiders and the Dolphins. The Patriots beat both teams by a wider margin than the Bills did. Same teams, good point of comparison, basis of comparison, two teams out of the four. The Patriots were better against both those teams than the Bills were, both in wins. Now, the Bills have also beaten the Rams. Really good win. The Patriots lost on a great goal line stand by the Seahawks. Would have been an even better win, but it's a loss. I get it. And now, the Patriots lose to the Chiefs. Everyone's going to lose to the Chiefs. But beyond that, they didn't have Cam Newton. So down their starting quarterback, and they were plus a bad call against the Patriots that where Mahomes turned the ball over. I think the Chiefs win anyway. I think that's a – if there's such thing as a quality loss, that's one. I think the Patriots are at five. At four?
Five.
Yes?
Stop stealing my shine now. This is where I go. Okay, now, the Ravens were number four last week, but Lamar Jackson says he's not happy despite being 3-1. Who's number four this week?
The Buffalo Bills.
But listen, what?
The Bills are undefeated, although I just leaned over to check my phone. Who's the other win? They beat the Jets. So, like, all right, great. They got to play the Jets and the Rams, and the Patriots had to play the Seahawks and the Chiefs. So they got two wins, which is great because they beat the Rams, and the Patriots without Cam Newton got two losses, without Cam Newton against the Chiefs, and barely two losses because they very nearly beat the Seahawks. But at any rate, the Bills are 4-0. They have beaten the Rams, and they have an excellent defense, and Josh Allen's in the MVP conversation. Here's my issue with the Ravens. They are 21-1 against the league other than the Chiefs in the regular season since Lamar Jackson took over. But they are 0-5 versus the Chiefs and in the playoffs. So, like, those are their important games. They're 21-1 when it counts less and 0-5 when it counts most. Given the fact that they now have a loss, and it was a bad one, to the Chiefs, I've dropped them from the top five temporarily.
Wow. Out of the top five at 3-1.
By the way, all right, the playoffs. The Patriots have Cam Newton, and they are matched up against the Ravens. Who do you like in that game?
The one that's won playoff games. The quarterback that's won playoff games.
Right, the quarterback and all coach that's won playoff games. Good.
That's right. Seattle Seahawks were number three last week. What about this week, Max?
Number three, Seattle Seahawks. They stay right there. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, you have a hell of a case for MVP. Their defense just gives up yards. It's unreal. And a lot of points, too. But, like, I let me go back to that goal line stand. Bobby Wagner made that play happen. Bobby Wagner's all-world. It's not like they don't have some all-world talent on the defense. And, by the way, like a lot of Patriots teams, right? Like, they were bad in the red zone. No, you give up field goals in the red zone. They're bad right up until the red zone. And now that the field is short, now it's much tougher to score. I'm not saying the Seahawks are exactly like that, but in their toughest matchup of the season, they held strong when they had to. It's enough for me to keep them at three.
All right. The only question is did the Chiefs move out of number one because they and Green Bay both, not against each other, both played Monday night. So who is number two, Max?
Well, the Packers are number two, and I will tell you why. First of all, Aaron Rodgers is my MVP so far. Also, the defense hasn't looked great, but the offense has, and especially Rodgers has. By the way, they're 4-0 now, okay? They were 13-3 last season. So under LaFleur in the regular season, they're now 17-3 and 1-1 in the playoffs. 17-3, and they were in the NFC Championship game last year. And now Rodgers looks all world. Look out. The reason I haven't moved the Chiefs out of the one spot, even though they played a Cam Newton-less Patriots team and they were the beneficiaries of a bad call by the refs that may have changed the momentum of the game or whatever, they still wound up winning that game by over two touchdowns, right? Like, the thing about the Chiefs is they did look vulnerable. It's the same reason, Raj, I've had them won basically all season. Because they look just like they did in last year's playoffs. They looked vulnerable against the Texans, down 21-0. 21-0 in the first quarter. Down 10-0 against the Titans in the first quarter. Down 10 points against the Niners in the fourth quarter. They won all three games and the freaking Super Bowl. So they struggled against the Chargers. They won. They struggled against the Patriots. They won by more than two touchdowns. Like, they destroyed the Ravens. Let me see someone actually beat the Chiefs. I'm having the Chiefs number one. And even, you know what, they're not going undefeated this year. They're going to lose. There's still going to be another undefeated team. And guess who I'm going to have number one in my power rankings? The Chiefs.
Oh,
the best team in football.
What?
Yep.
All right. That's your take, Max. Yeah.
That's right. Best team in football. Last take will be your take next. Job well done by MLB for all the exciting playoff baseball we're seeing. Make sure to tune into ESPN Radio later to hear Game 3 of the Rays-Yankees. Come on, Tanaka! Who said that? Followed by the Padres-Dodgers starting at 6:45 p.m. Eastern. I haven't even checked. Is Tanaka starting tonight? Job Well Done is brought to you by Napa. Whether you stop by a locally owned Napa Auto Parts, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, because Tanaka's a big game pitcher for real. Throwback to like El Duque and David Wells and those guys. If you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, Electric Relaxation. A song that no matter how many times I look it up, I still don't know what that chorus is saying. I was so fascinated by what they could possibly be saying when this song dropped. And then the internet explodes, and now you can just look stuff up. And I looked it up as soon as I remembered, years later. Oh, yeah, I could just look it up. And I looked it up, and I said, oh, that's what they're saying. I'm going to remember that, and I can never remember it, Raj. I looked it up probably half a dozen times. I still don't know what they're saying in that chorus.
Yeah, I remember Mario. Remember Mario in L.A., our guy? He always tells me. He knows it every time, and I still don't remember it. I ask him every time, and he tells me what it is.
Relax yourself. Step through here. See? I don't know. I don't know. And I remember when I did hear it, I still didn't understand what it meant.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty
You can
simple.
Reach me.
Pretty basic.
At 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
You're going to hear your last take. That's right. By the way, Dodgers and Yankees, both with big games today. Come on, Tanaka. News from Max Kellerman Nation. You're about to hear it. You're about to hear it. Alec in New York. You're on the Max Kellerman doing? Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Max. How you doing?
Good, good. Go ahead, Alec.
So real quick on the coronavirus, I think the NFL should push the Chiefs and Raiders game, the Bills-Titans game, and the Pats and whoever they're playing to a Week 18 because I don't think they, for one thing, I'm a Bills fan, and I don't think they want to risk having two MVP candidates possibly not being playing on Thursday Night Football. First of all, and secondly, they might as well give them a chance because the incubation period for the virus, it takes time for them to find it. You know, it doesn't just pop right up. You know, they want to give them a chance. I think that they'd be risking more money by not postponing it than, you know, either forfeiting for, say, the Titans and the Raiders because you have people decide to not follow COVID protocols.
That's a good point. By the way, FanSided had something on this about the Titans, right? Like, if you're not following protocol, if you're not supposed to practice, then you do practice, and now you have a COVID outbreak, and as a result, some team, the Steelers, whoever, now doesn't have a bye for a billion weeks or whatever it is, shouldn't you have to forfeit that game? I mean, I don't like the fact that the NFL tried to play a full, like, if the NFL were smart, they would have said something like, if they really wanted to get this in, they'd have said something like, look, this many games, guys, you have to quarantine yourself. You know, like, we have these, like, 18 or 19 weeks to get 14 games in, let's say, because, of course, stuff like this was going to happen. News from Max Kellerman Nation. That was Alec who just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. So, yeah, I agree. Like, there should be some... Forget about making up the game for a second. If you've broken protocol and you have a COVID outbreak, even if it's not causal, right? Even if, but so what? There's a protocol to keep things safe. You break it, you have practice, now you have an outbreak, and now the game is postponed? No, it should just be canceled, and you forfeit the game. Luke and Callie, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, what's going on? I have a question for you about fantasy football.
All right.
I know that you talked.
I did come in second in my draft in my DraftKings league this week. Go ahead.
Oh, nice. I know you talked to Jameson Crowder, and he's been doing pretty well for me. But with Antonio Gibson in my RB2 spot right now, I'm super torn on Jameson Crowder or Devin Singletary in the flex, and I can't make a decision.
Wait, you're not playing daily fantasy. This is a year long fantasy situation, huh?
Oh yes.
I can't. I don't know. Singletary. I'll say. You know, Raj and I in the commercial break were just discussing Singletary. Just like you know, I'll go with Singletary. I can't get into year long fantasy leagues anymore. I can't do it. It's uncut. This like daily fantasy. No big commitments. Just like shot of adrenaline every week. So, I'd say Singletary. That was news from Max Kellerman Nation. Luke hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I say start Singletary at running back. Bills running back. Yankees and Dodgers, big games today. Tanaka, even though he blew up against Cleveland, he still got the Yankees swept the series and 2 out of 3. And Tanaka has throughout his career with the Yankees been a legit big game pitcher. Come on, Tanaka. Kershaw for the Dodgers, who's turning his postseason legacy around. If Kershaw's good, the Dodgers are going to finally win their first World Series since 1988, unless the Yankees can stop them.